Do you or someone that you know have a story that they would like to share with the world? If so, look no further. You can join Spotify for Podcasters today and begin sharing your story with the world. How might you do this, you would ask? Well, it's very simple with this app. You are able to edit and record your podcast for free, as well as view the analytics to see the engagement with your audience with a variety of features, including video podcasting. Also, you're able to make money off your podcast because, listen, if you've been outside, like I've been outside, you know that inflation is terrorizing all of us. From the rent still being due on the first to gas and groceries, it's hard to keep up. So, if you have a good story to tell and want to galvanize a unique set of listeners, go ahead and start your journey today with Spotify for Podcasters and let them know that Prince Onyx from the Royal Albert Podcast sent you. And now, back to the show. Hey you guys, what's up? It's your good guy here, Prince Onyx. And I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. As part of my royal court, for just as low as $7.99 a month, that's $7.99 a month, you guys can get advertisement free, in other words, ad-free episodes from your favorite podcast, the Royal Hour Podcast. How do you do that, you ask? Well, if you're listening from Spotify or from Anchor, there will be a link in the description that you can click on where you will be able to be a paid subscriber. Now, with this subscription, you are able to get, again, ad-free episodes, meaning that all you will hear is the intro, and you'll hear about the Anchor FM, you know, spot about how to create your own podcast and where to find me, which is the outro on where to find me on social media. Other than that, you guys will get, you know, as long as I want to have the episodes. They could be an hour, maybe 2 hours, who knows, of just me, solo dolo, or me and my guests from the Royal Court as we talk about the various topics that you guys love, from entertainment to politics to AI to conspiracy theories. When I tell you, you would want to subscribe to this because I'm already free enough. You know, I speak freely enough on the show regularly, but with the subscription, when I tell y'all, you get a more raw, uncut version of your good guy Prince Onyx and some. Yeah, you'd want to subscribe to this. So again, for just as little as $7.99 a month, you guys will get ad-free episodes. Ad-free, no interruptions, just straight through and through, from one segment to the next segment to the next segment to the next segment to the end of the episode. You guys will get all of that for just as low as $7.99 a month. And this is due in part to Anchor, which is provided to us by Spotify. So I just wanted to let you guys know before y'all listen to this episode, because this is a freebie, just like, you know, you guys get the regular episodes because season 2 is coming. But I just wanted to let y'all know that moving forward, to get those subscription episodes, those exclusive episodes, subscription based episodes, you just got to subscribe for as low as $7.99 a month, and you guys get your good boy Prince Onyx and then some. Thank y'all. Now let's get back to the show. Hello and welcome to the Royal Hour Podcast, hosted by the one and only Prince Onyx. Join me on a daily to weekly basis with the Royal Court and I as we delve deep into a wide range of topics. From entertainment to politics, both professional and streetwise, to personal stories of things that we've experienced. From dating troubles to family drama and even our own tea that'll get spilled. All from a Chicago perspective that at times can be viewed as worldly. You can find us on Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, and more. This is a show that you don't want to miss. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome back to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. And I want to welcome everybody back. Everybody back. Thank you. Thank you. Now, something that I have noticed that has been low-key but high-key brought to my attention
is that a lot of my friends, for those of you guys who tuned into the podcast, is that y'all got to listen to this after work, which I totally understand, because the last thing I need is for you guys to be beating up your managers and supervisors and coworkers, even though sometimes they might deserve it. But hey, we still need a job out here because, you know, it's hard out here for a pimp, you know, when you're trying to get this money for the rent, you know, but a Cadillacs and gas money spends. We'll have a whole lot of bitches jumping ship, you know. Try to Roger Sean sung her ass off with that, okay? Whew. Anyway, let her drop an R&B album. It's over for you bitches. Or a little EP. Anyway, shout out to y'all who listen to it after work, because what I've realized is, because I'm a very passionate person, yes, you can say emotional, some can say unhinged or whatever, these, you know, buzzwords that everybody likes to use, right? Because everybody's a walking encyclopedia nowadays. Everybody's so creative. I just like to vent, rant, and rave so that you don't have to, even though you're going to do it anyway, because we're all entitled to do whatever we want to do, as long as it does not harm anyone else. But I like to let those who listen know, that you are not alone in your thought patterns and thinking when it comes to this show. You're not alone, because we all have the same thoughts. Hello? We all have the same thoughts and thought processes. And so, yeah, you're not alone. You know what I'm saying? You're not alone. I can't say shout out. Well, shout out to Michael Jackson, but the person who wrote the song, no shout out to him. If you know, you know. But you are not alone, though. And so with that being said, we are going to move right along. And the beat goes on. Do, 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 do. So this is a Jonathan Majors update on the situation that has been going on with him. So this is our first little story. And on the docket today, it's a little bit scattered and scrambled, but I'm gonna bring it on home like I always do. Bring it around, bring it around, bring it around, bring it around, bring it around. Anyway, so this is coming from Deadline, and it reads, Jonathan Majors and Manager Entertainment 360, which is funny how their name is Entertainment 360. Manager Entertainment 360 part ways. Actor facing domestic violence allegations in NY to the C. Talent manager, Entertainment 360, has dropped Jonathan Majors, several sources tell us. The recent move by Majors' longtime manager comes 3 weeks after the magazine Dream star was arrested on domestic violence charges in New York City. Currently starring in both Creed 3 and Ant-Man and the Wasp and the Quantumanium, Majors' departure was due to issues surrounding the actor's personal behavior, we are informed. Majors' representation problems don't stop with Entertainment 360, because the PR firm, The Lead Company, and that is L-E-D-E, The Lead Company, at least that's how I hope I'm pronouncing it the correct way, also initiated a break with the Avengers actor in the last month. As a more minor element of this, Majors and fashion house Valentino, quote-unquote, mutually agreed that the actor would not be attending this year's Met Gala as one of its guests. Entertainment 360 and Lead Company did not return requests for comment. Now, Majors has already shot the second season of Disney Plus's Loki, in which he will reprise his uber villain role of Kang the Conqueror, and won't go before the cameras in Avengers the Kang Dynasty for quite some time. Deadline hears that there's zero conversations in the Marvel camp to drop Majors from the MCU, which, a side note, there have been rumors that they have been looking for another, you know, black actor to play him, and people are pointing at, like, Damon Idris, you know, but, again, from Deadline, which is a, you know, reputable source, they're saying that there's zero conversations from the Marvel camp, so clearly, well, Marvel and Beyonce, they got a lot in common. They like to keep shit on hush. But if there are zero conversations, like if nothing is leaking out of the Marvel camp, then that's how you know everybody there is like, you know what? We're in too deep. We're going to do what we got to do. Wait until everything else comes out of the wash with this. But we're going to stick beside them for the time being. We will check back in May if anything changes. Because the actor was arrested March 25th over an alleged domestic dispute with a 30-year-old woman. The unnamed victim was taken to the hospital with, quote-unquote, minor injuries to her head and neck, according to authorities. Majors is expected to hear, well, appear rather, I guess be heard and to hear, but appear before a judge May 8th, which is the week before Mother's Day, if not the week. I want to say, no, that's the week of, because I thought Mother's Day was the first weekend of May, but apparently it's the second. So I'm like, what? Okay, girl. Okay. But anyway, Majors is expected to appear before a judge May 8th as he faces multiple counts of harassment and assault from the New York City DA. Quote unquote, Jonathan Majors is completely innocent and is probably the victim of an altercation with a woman he knows, says Majors' criminal defense attorney, who is the same woman that represented Jen Shaw from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, who is now serving 6 years in prison for what she did, which was defrauding and scamming the elderly. So, this is coming from the statement that she told Deadline, his lawyer, that she told them back in March on the 27th. We are quickly gathering and presenting evidence to the DA with the expectation that all charges will be dropped imminently. Girl, they're going to be dropped immediately. I don't know why the hell they wrote that like that and why she said that like that. Anyway, she went on to add that at the time that the evidence includes video footage from the vehicle where this episode took place, witness testimony from the driver, and others who both saw and heard the episode. And most importantly, two written statements from the woman recanting these allegations. Major's attorney also released a set of text messages to the press that was redacted in order to protect the woman's identity, in which the latter took the blame for the fight. Please, let me know you're okay when you get this. They assured me that you won't be charged. They said they had to arrest you as protocol when they saw the injuries on me, and they knew we had a fight. I'm so angry that they did, and I'm sorry you're in this position. We'll make sure nothing happens about this. I told them it was my fault for trying to grab your phone. I only got out hospital. Just call me when you're out. I love you. End quote. Majors' altercation comes amid what has been yet a bountiful 2023. Well, again, with both Creed 3 and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, having grossed a combined $745 million at the box office, in addition to rave reviews out of Sundance for his turn as a mentally disturbed amateur bodybuilder in Magazine Dreams. Disney's Searchlight Pictures acquired that movie out of the festival, beating several bidders out, and set a December 8, 2023 release date for it. Majors remains represented by WME. So what I feel about it is that, you know what, I guess you could say you win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day. And in this case, yeah, because again, until we hear from Marvel on what they are going to do, we can't just go assuming that they've replaced him like some of the rumors that are just pointless rumors are saying. Because I feel like they're waiting until after what happens with him seeing the judge next month. Then will they decide on, okay, yeah, we got to drop you, buddy. Which then is just like, damn, okay, that puts the nail in the coffin for your career. I mean, not completely, because I mean, there are a lot of abusers who are still working in this town. But it's just like, dude, you just got here too. And that's the thing too. It's like, sir, you just fucking got here. You just got here and already controversy. You know what I'm saying? Like already controversy. And of course, sorry about that. And of course, I don't like this narrative that, oh, if it was a black woman, she would know better. She would know her place and she would never go through her man's phone. Sweetheart, whether you be black, white, or candy stripe, whether you have a vagina or you have a penis and some testicles like myself, and you happen to date men, sweetheart, people look through their partner's phones a lot of the times. And yes, a lot of the times it can be projections. It can be insecurities. It could be a lot of that. And then other times it's not. You know what I'm saying? So with this whole scenario, do I feel like people jump to conclusions too quick, too soon? Not necessarily, because I mean, look, when the Me Too shit started to kick off in Hollywood and people started realizing, oh my God, we need to protect women, even though black women are still left on the fucking chopping block and left to be like chopped liver. But, you know, when the Me Too stuff really started to take over and it set a new precedent for this era, this time period that we are in, because shit is really getting dangerous out here in these streets, unfortunately. And so, you know, I say all of that to say, it's very unfortunate, man. It's very, very unfortunate that this has happened. Because, again, like I was saying early on, is that him and this woman need to leave each other. They truly, truly need to leave each other. They need to leave each other because there's no point in sticking together when he is doing this to you. Regardless of her being, you know, white, a woman was still attacked at the end of the day. And this can't be on some, oh, she's trying to tear down a black man. No, this black man is doing a fine job of that on his own. Her only issue was going through his phone. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, dude, if it's that imperative for you to be out here blowing bitches' backs out and you didn't, you know, delete their numbers or name them something else, which that shit never really works. Bruh, what the fuck? And then as far as the woman, it's like, girl, now that you done went through his phone, y'all done went through this, y'all need to part ways. Don't be like the women who stick around with these men because of their wealth, you know what I'm saying, the money, the access, the power that they hold, because that shit can be snatched away from them at any given point in time. Because we live in a new dawn, a new day, and a new era where abusive men in the industry cannot continue to get a pass. That's why folks still come at Chris Brown the way that they do. Folks still may come at Charlie Sheen the way that they do. Folks will come at, you know, whoever it was who was out here abusing folks will still come for you. That just is what it is. Even though oftentimes you can consider it fake, you can. Oftentimes it is considered and seen as performance as fuck. Oftentimes it just seems like, oh, yeah, it just seems like, oh, you know, like, oh, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, y'all. It's just, it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird. And it's a fucked up scenario all around. It's like, girl, don't be like them chicks who's just like, oh, yeah, I'm here. He cheats on me. He does this to me. Oh, well, it is what it is. No, you need to stand up. Because, again, nobody's going to sit and pretend like everything's okay. Woo, woo, woo. We forgive you. You got to fight hard to get that forgiveness. I said forgiveness. That, I guess, like repentance, that forgiveness back. But even then, the court of public opinion already don't like you now because of what has happened. And this is after, you know, black gay men and black women who are both not, and I'll say this for both groups, who are not pick-me's, you know what I'm saying, and who are not ignorant, were defending you when the Ebony cover shoot had came out and everybody was like, oh my God, they trying to emasculate the black men, you know what I'm saying, the black men, like, you know what I'm saying, like, nobody's trying to emasculate anybody. He just made some piss poor decisions and now is paying for it, because it's really big when you don't get invited to the Met Gala. And that is actually what the Kardashians and the Jenners are going through right now, because they are losing power. They're losing popularity and their grip on power is loosening up. But this is the time for us to tighten the fuck up. You catch my drift? Okay. This is the time for us to catch the fuck, to, you know, keep shit together. This is the time to keep shit together. So, again, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, there are people who may, you know, forgive him and be like, oh, well, you know, season two went hard with Loki. And, oh, my God, they got Kang back and da-da-da-da-da. Because, again, until Marvel is like, yeah, there's nothing else we can do for him. We got to let him go. They're going to most likely keep him. You know, and again, there are other abusers who are still working in the industry. So I'm not trying to excuse it at all, because it is fucked up. It's just that he will most likely still be working. It's just going to take some time. So he needs to just get himself together, get anger management issues. And again, that woman needs to break up with him, because, you know, women will stay with a guy for the power, the wealth, the access, and the status. Because it's all, you know, it's all encompassing and inclusive. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like Andrew Gillum's wife. Andrew Gillum was the guy he was the black guy running for governor in Florida, I believe, a few years back. And he was unfortunately caught out in a hotel room. He had overdosed. Thankfully, he's still alive with us, but he had overdosed and vomited on himself. But he was with two male prostitutes that were like white-leaning in the appearance, white-leaning Hispanics. And the cops had took pictures of him, and it leaked out. And then when he finally came out and said that he was bisexual, a lot of people looked at his wife and was like, oh my God, why is she still with him? And da 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 da. Of course, you know, the biphobia jumped out, the homophobia jumped out. But she's most likely a part of this like exclusive little club, if you will, in the gated community of politics, where the wives come together and they hang out, spend time with each other. They may even have a book club or do yoga and Pilates while their men are out here with escorts, be they, you know, male, female, trans, non-binary, whatever. You know, they let them, their man do their thing, and it's like, hey, they getting the money, they can shop at Gucci, at Louis Vuitton, they can wear red bottoms, you know, say they got upper echelons. Bitches is out here going to Turks and Caicos and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, bitches is out here going to Turks and Caicos and all of that shit. So it's just like, girl, they don't give a fuck. Like, do whatever you gonna do. You know, don't bring no diseases back to the house. And then if your ass did get something, go get checked out. Get that shit treated. Let it clear up. And, you know, hey, we'll be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir. We'll be on back on and on and on and break into the break of dawn. Shit, okay? Like, it is what it is. You know, but again, they stay because of the money, the wealth, the power, you know, the money, the power, the wealth, the access, all of that shit. And so I say that to say that this woman here in the Jonathan Majors case, girl, leave. It's okay. You will find another man out here who will love you and not have to lay hands on you like that. And Jonathan Majors, if it's so important for you to cheat, you will find another man. I think I was thinking about her still. The woman found another man. Jesus, I had to catch myself. I'm like, wait, not another man. You will find another woman who may be all right with you. Jesus Christ, a siren going off in the background. But anyway, you will find a woman who is okay with being cheated on and will let you do what you do as long as she got a check. You know what I'm saying? Like, hell, she could be buying herself Birkins, going to, again, Gucci, Louis Vuitton. What is it? Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Prada. Shit, Coco Chanel, going to, what is it, Victoria's Secret, all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? She getting tricked off on. She don't give a good goddamn, because she, you know, I don't need to work. My man got two jobs, okay? Shout out to Everybody Hates Chris. Like, bitch, her man got multiple jobs, multiple streams of income coming in. So it is what it is. And so I say that to say that still this woman needs to leave, because it's like, girl, you can't keep doing this. Do not stay with him, nor should you excuse it, and nor should any of y'all excuse this shit either, because it's not okay. It's not okay at the end of the day. Repeat it with me now. It's not okay at the end of the day. It's not okay at the end of the day. It's not okay at the end of the day. Hey, it's not okay at the end of the day. Hey, it's not okay. At the end of the day, hey, girl, let me stop you. I had random ass jingles. Anyway, yeah, it's not okay. So I just hope that both of them are able to part ways and that he can get some anger management, get himself together, and then come back and just make it do what it do. For real, for real. But I will talk to you guys after these messages. Let me know what y'all think, though, as it pertains to this whole segment dealing with Jonathan Majors. How are y'all feeling about this? Let me know. Let your good guy here, Prince Onyx, know, because I'd love hearing from y'all. But let me know what y'all thoughts are, because, again, Marvel has not dropped him, and he's still being represented by WME, which I feel like is a Warner's Brothers collective or something like that, or one of their businesses. I don't know. I would have to, you know, fuck it. Let me look it up now before I leave you good people. Let's look that up now, because I'm like, who is the WME, girl? Like, who? I'm like, they're still representing him? Oh, okay, like, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, cool. Cool. Okay, WME Agency, global leader in entertainment, sports, and fashion. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Oh, they represent a lot of people, from Kate Beckenstein to Christian Bale, Jessica Alba, Ben Affleck, Jake Gyllenhaal, Whoopi Goldberg, Jennifer Gardner, Matt Damon. Oh, damn. They're a talent agency, duh. But God damn, they represent a lot of people. Jesus Christ. Ah, this is the William Morris Endeavor. That's the acronym of it. Because I'm like, who the hell is they? So yeah, they're still representing him. He's still on their roster. So, you know, unless they drop him too, then it's like, okay, nigga, your career is gone. I tried to hit that note like Justin Timberlake. Like, you know, Justin Timberlake and NSYNC, when they did that song, I Can't Get You Off My Mind. Da, 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 da. Bitch, gone, okay? It's gone, gone, gone. Gone, girl, no scissor. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages, child. Peace.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your good guy here, Prince Onyx. I just wanted to give you a friendly reminder once again. Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a comment and tell a friend to tell a friend. Because when this show grows, so do you as the royal court. So I want to thank y'all again for tuning in and just give a friendly reminder to be sure that you are sharing with your friends, your family, your lovers, hell, your one-off, jump-off, whatever the case is, and let them know the Royal Hour is the place to be and the podcast you want to listen to. And now back to the show.
And we back, and we back, and we back, and we back. Okay, so hey y'all, it's your good guy here, Prince Onyx, and I want to welcome y'all back to the Royal Hour podcast with your good guy once again, Prince Onyx. Okay, so in the last segment, because y'all can't see me because I'm not recording, but maybe, and I might low-key do this when I finally get back on YouTube, but like I had closed my eyes at certain points while I was recording, and it was almost like I tapped into another form of consciousness within myself, and I was listening to the playback, and I was like, ooh, huh, that's interesting. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I closed my eyes, and it was almost like it was just me talking to myself and not talking to y'all, but I know that I am talking to y'all. And it's kind of like, you know, when a person gets stage fright, so they tell you, imagine everybody in their underwear. And then you mess around and see yourself in your underwear. Like, that shit would always be funny in the movies and TV shows. Gotta be like, damn, how the person is trying to take their friend advice and the advice flips on them. Hilarious. So I had did that, and it was just like, it was fascinating. It was interesting. I just felt like sharing that with y'all. Anyway, let's talk about, this is gonna be a loaded topic, so this might be a two-part segment, but let's talk about Frank Ocean and this piss poor performance down to the Coachella the other day, right? So from what TMZ is reporting, Frank Ocean allegedly had and apparently had injured his ankle in a bike incident days before accident, because it's with an A instead of an I. So accident. Anyway, he injured his ankle, goddammit, in a bike accident days before Coachella, forcing production changes. Now, why is that important, you may ask? Well, gee, let's go ahead and do a little research. Not me search, y'all, because I know a lot of y'all like to do me search. Not my royal court, but you know, them hoes that ain't got shit else better to do with their lives. But what ended up happening I'm so tired of people making excuses for this man at this point. But basically what happened is that he nearly dropped out of Coachella last night after requesting, and this is last night as in Sunday, he nearly dropped out after requesting significant last-minute changes to his stage production, resulting in delays and tension with the festival organizers. Now, I don't know about y'all, but, and this is a sidebar, but, if it was me and I was one of them organizers, after the performance ended, I probably would have punched him or got somebody else to do it. I'm just saying, because it's like, what the fuck is your problem? No, seriously, what the fuck is your problem? Yeah, you've been gone for like, you know, 3 years or 6 years. Or how long you been gone? It's been a while since people have seen you. Yes, here's the thing. I'm sorry that I'm finna say it like this. I really am. But when it comes to celebrities, and when somebody in their family passes away, it's like the whole fucking world gotta stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Look at what they going through. Girl, we all going through some shit. And I'm not trying to minimize anything. I'm not trying to minimize anything, because I just went to a funeral this past Friday for the matriarch of a family member of ours who had passed away. But you don't see the rest of the world stopping for them. You know, it's just like, yo, we cannot keep making excuses for men. I just fucking told y'all. Oh, see, damn, now I can see why my friends got to listen to this shit after work. Jesus Christ, I'm getting charged up like the Energizer Bunny. But no, real fucking shit. We cannot keep giving excuses to fucking men. And I say this as a goddamn man myself. But goddamn, it's like that Chris Rock joke. There are niggas and there are black people. There are, shit, I don't know, man boys and there are men. These man boys on the low, we cannot keep giving them excuses and passes because of shit that's going on in their family. It is unfortunate what happened to Frank Ocean's brother when he passed away. But Frank, if you don't want to do music no more, sir, if you don't want to perform no more, it's okay. If you just want to write songs for folks and produce and be in the background, that's okay. Because what we not finna fucking do is this piss poor bullshit right here. Because there are people who are saying that, like, you know, there are people who are just like, you know, I've never been happy. Somebody said that I've never been happier that I didn't waste money to see Frank Ocean in Coachella this horrific. Because what ended up happening was allegedly he played like, what, 3 or 6 of his songs or whatever. But also because he showed up an hour late, there was a curfew. And, you know, you can't go past the curfew. So he just ended the set abruptly. But also there's footage floating around of him not even fucking singing. He basically is just playing his music because the stage was set up like a studio. And he's basically just playing his music. He's just playing his music. He's just playing his fucking music. Ooh, sorry, y'all, because a thought just came across my mind about some shit. Because goddamn, ooh. I just be tired when people be trying to talk to me about some shit and I know what the fuck I'm talking about anyway. But he's playing his fucking music and the audience is just singing along. And it's like, so niggas paid how much to see this? If you thought you was giving Beychella, nigga, you not. Because you're not interesting enough to do some shit like this. You're not interesting enough. And it pisses me off because it's like, for you bitches, see, now this is where the topic is going to kind of piggyback and ping pong, go all over the place. And now I'm closing my eyes so that I can really get myself centered and in deep thought. That way I can, like, really focus. But what I don't fucking like, let me make sure my mouth is still to the mic. Anyway, what I don't fucking like is how men in the entertainment industry get a fucking pass to do the bare fucking minimum. But meanwhile, women like Lotto, Lola Brooke, the Chloe Bailey, who y'all fucking hate, and I don't know why, but when her and her sister come back to do a Chloe and Halle album, all of you bitches are going to jump back on it. And yes, that goes for you. Ooh, bitch, I almost said that whole name out loud. Yes, that goes for you, too, a certain blogger who sometimes I like and other times I wish your ass would shut the fuck up. Anyway, because it's giving hateration in this dancery, you ignorant bitch. Anyway, you fucking, girl, you fucking bean head shaped hoe. Anyway, y'all hate these girls who are performing and giving y'all performances from the choreography to the dancing to everything. Even if they be out of breath a little bit, a bitch can still give you a fucking show. But the men can do bare minimum. Hell, with the exception of Saucy Santana and Lil Nas X, it's like the rest of these niggas, they just stand there and, you know, niggas don't dance. They just pull up their pants and do the rock away. Throw your hand back, now lean back. Uh-huh, now lean back. Like, bitches just, shit, niggas ain't even doing a fucking lean back. They just standing there just watching the audience because it's stroking their ego. Because Lord knows, you know, they would like you to stroke something else. But then that would be public indecency. But any fucking way. But women are giving y'all performances. No, they may not be a Beyonce. And yes, we all are about to see her real soon. But god damn, do y'all hate these bitches. For real, for real. Y'all hate them. And I'm only saying bitches because that's how the fuck y'all refer to them. Y'all hate them. But a motherfucker like this, who is not that fucking interesting. Yes, he has some decent songs, but the nigga ain't that fucking interesting. Bitch, if you had to ask me who am I paying to see, if the lineup was Mariah the Scientist, Baby Stormy, Summer Walker, Ari Lennox, Dexter Jordan, one of the LGBT, one of the black gay artists who I support, shout out to you. If it was Dexter Jordan and Corey James, another black gay artist who I support, shout out to you, Corey. In that lineup, lineup A. And then lineup B was just Frank Ocean, maybe Drake, maybe even Kanye, maybe even, I'm trying to think who else is a nigga that barely does anything. I don't know, but if it was them in lineup B, right, I'm fucking choosing A. I'm choosing A all the way. I'm choosing A all the fucking way because they're going to entertain me. They're going to put on a show. The budget is right. The everything, they spared no expense. Bitch, you're getting my money. Put on a show and serenade me into the fucking night until kingdom comes, okay? For real, for real. Because niggas like Frank Ocean do the bare fucking minimum. Better yet, below minimum. And yet they get rewarded. But I bet you, had that with hell, whenever Azealia Banks has performed at like Coachella or South by Southwest or one of these fucking festivals, that bitch even puts on a performance. Even now, she still puts on a performance. Like, women especially black women in this industry. See, now I'm clapping because now you know I'm fucking serious. They put on a show. They put their entire lives on that stage. You hear me? Their entire fucking lives. And people are so quick to criticize them, to judge them, especially. And it be you pick me bitches who claim that y'all getting a lot of dick and a lot of sex and attention, but you really not, because if you was, why is you so focused on this bitch? Yeah, I know we all talking about entertainment and gossip and tea and da-da-da-da-da and all this other shit for a check and to, you know, monetize our conversations, because that's all podcasting really is at the end of the fucking day, is monetizing our fucking conversations to the highest bidder who sees if it's worth a damn to begin with. But god damn is it given I'm a hating ass bitch that back in high school was a fucking nobody, was the equivalent of Velma, and all the bitches who was like a Daphne and Regina George didn't want, you know, they ain't want shit to do with me. Now them bitches is busted and disgusted, and I done had my glow up 20 some fucking years later, and now I'm that bitch all down on YouTube and all this other shit and on Apple and Spotify, and oh, I think I'm better than everybody, so I'm gonna judge everybody, including a girl like Chloe Bailey in her fucking 20s who ain't doing nothing to no motherfucking body, but because I like to talk shit about people, because, you know, I'm a male identified woman. Oh, I'm going to do this in order to, like, you know, make myself feel better about my own miserable existence. Bitch, you hoes are ridiculous. Because I would really like to see y'all get the fuck up there on stage and do what a Chloe Bailey does. Hell, what Lizzo does. What Megan Thee Stallion does. What, hell, even my girl Mariah the Scientist. Yes, she just stands there and sings. But at least the bitch interacts. But she also interacts with her fucking audience. Give a fuck what y'all. Real ass bitch give a fuck about a nigga. Real ass nigga give a fuck about a bitch. How about that? Again, damn, I can see why y'all have listened to this after work, because, whew, I'm fucking charged up. But it's just like, yo, because, again, I'm an artist myself. And bitch, here's the thing. I know Beyonce told Chloe and Halle not to read their comments, and I low-key have to remind myself of that, too, when my star really, really, really starts to rise, not to read the comments, because I would decimate you bitches. Y'all thought Cardi was bad? Oh, I would, oof. I would drag you bitches to hell and back and not regret a single fucking bit of it. Because those who fuck with me, they gonna fuck with me. Those who don't, well, bitch, I just gave your miserable ass something to talk about. And no, it's not a matter of, oh, no, maybe you're just insecure. No, bitch, you are insecure. In your 30s, going into your 40s. You the insecure bitch, not me. Check your status, ho. Check your insecurities, ho, because it's not me, ho. It's not me. It's not me, it's you. They're all gonna laugh at you, bitch. Anyway, not me, ho, but you. Anti-fucking-way. Anyway, life is great, pussy still good. But it's like, again, black women have to do the utmost to infinity and fucking beyond and still get treated like crap, still get harshly criticized and judged. And no, this is not me having, you know, doing a black womaning thing or a black girling thing, none of that bullshit. No, this is me being honest. Y'all judge these black girls, these women, so fucking harshly, yo. It's unfair and it's not right. But a motherfucker like this can make last minute changes, request them, however, show up an hour late because your fucking ankle, nigga. When Chris Brown had his ankle broke one time, he still put on a performance. I think that was down to the fucking BET Awards. And yes, he's controversial himself. And now we can all see why Chris Brown beat the brakes off your goof ass. It's just like, bruh, you a goofy bitch. You a goofy fucking bitch. Like, if you don't take your ass over to Italy and go fuck on one of them Italian designers and leave us the fuck alone so that you can write a whole album about him and that ain't nobody gonna give a fuck about unless you get Beyonce or, hell, one of the Clark sisters or all the Clark sisters to do backup vocals with your ass like you did when you had got Kim Burrell homophobic ass on that level on Blonde. Nigga, fuck out of here. For real, for real. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here, nigga. Like, you're pathetic. It's just like, this is bullshit. People spend a good, hard-earned money for this. Bitch, you got me fucked up. You made all these fucking requests and shit. It's like, bruh. So, here it is. So, from Festival Owl, this is what they had tweeted out, apparently. And you know they paid for Twitter Blue, because goddamn, this is long. I've been speaking with sources about exact... Now, I've opened my eyes, by the way, too. I've been speaking with sources about exactly what transpired and how things went so far downhill Sunday for hashtag Frank Ocean plus hashtag Coachella. So, here you go. The stage production was supposed to and did contain an ice rink that was constructed and ready to go. Frank decided at the last minute that he no longer wanted it at all. All of the people walking around him at the start of the performance were actually ice skaters. They had been practicing for weeks and were supposed to be skating as part of the production. Coachella had to deconstruct the approved stage that had been planned and signed off on for months in advance. They had to melt the entire ice rink and then set it up how Frank decided today with no warning, which is why you ended up seeing and caused the hour-long delay. This all happened when doors had already opened for Sunday and people were securing their spots to see him. If the last-minute changes weren't made, he wouldn't have performed at all, leaving the festival without a closing headliner. Which, sidebar before I finish reading this, bitch, here's my thing. Again, you festival organizers, when contracts are signed and bitches break them, come after their pockets. Because what you're not, first of all, them ice skaters practice for weeks. This stage was signed off in months in advance. It was approved, the whole nine yards. All of these channels, everything. And you just, I don't give a fuck about you being black, because this ain't got shit to do with you being black. Because most of you niggas, be it Frank Ocean, be it hell, even Tyler the Creator, be it who else is that other nigga that I don't like, Steve Lacy, you know, you bitches, y'all motherfuckers who don't like being black, y'all don't like being niggas, and y'all want to just fuck on nothing but white Swedish boys and white French boys and get gang banged in a fucking Italian jail some damn where overseas, you motherfuckers. Act like y'all are Beyonce. Bitch, you ain't even Kelly Rowland, Michelle Williams, Michelle the Bridge Williams, because she never met a bridge she couldn't cross. Y'all ain't Latavia Robinson or Latoya fucking Luggett. Hell, you Latoya Luggett. You bitches ain't even luggage. That's why my words got a little slurry. You bitches, y'all ain't even luggage, a.k.a. Farrah. So let's get this one thing. Let's get this crystal fucking clear. Y'all are no fucking body, my nigga. Calm your dicks. You just got here, bitch. Calm your dicks. And even Beyonce wouldn't do some bullshit like this. So stop thinking that, oh, well, you that girl. None of y'all are that girl. You're not even that nigga. Hell, y'all don't even want to be niggas. Anyway, back to the story. Frank also personally pulled the plug at the last second on the live stream, which left a very sour taste in many inside Coachella's mouths, because YouTube had put up a message that he didn't want the show to be live streamed. Okay, bitch, whatever. You're nobody. So let's see how far that album gets, though, bitch. Anyway, you're not even Kanye, ho. Let's be real. Ultimately, and I quote, it just didn't seem like he wanted to be there, but was obligated to be. Everything, including him, fell apart last minute. Don't expect to see any coverage from the festival about the set, something that is unprecedented in the history of Coachella. The relationship is not in a good place right now. In other words, I'm going to give y'all the translation. We're not bringing him back. Hell would have to freeze over for us to bring him back. Because for you to do this, you pulled the plug on a live stream. They had to melt the ice rink. Like, sir, don't come back. We're not. And because of how you've acted, we doubt South by Southwest would even want you to. We doubt Rolling Loud would even want you to. Anybody with any common sense that would be live streaming their concerts and their shows, because they know not everybody can fucking afford to go here, they will probably not have you there. So when your next album does drop, if it ever does drop, good luck, because you're going to fucking need it. Good luck, because you're going to fucking need it. Good luck, because you're going to fucking need it. Frank Ocean, again, you want to be that girl, you would never be that girl, and that just is what it is. It's fucking sad that people are, again, making excuses for him. It's like, yo, this is Coachella's time, not your own. If this was your own show, which even then, all the people who worked so hard to pull this shit off would probably have left your ass after that. But what we're not going to do is, again, oh my God, he's grieving his brother. Yes, people grieve for a long time, and people grieve in a various amounts of ways, and it comes out in different ways. But as a celebrity and as a black man and as a man in general, due to the toxic masculinity and the patriarchy that still serves us as man before it ever will serve anybody else, and then on top of that, the dynamics of it, even then with the homophobia, the transphobia, the biphobia, and everything else that falls in line with that, you get a fucking pass to be a bitch. You get a pass to be an asshole. You get a pass to be an insufferable cunt. And that's not okay. Because again, women have to work their asses off just to, whether it's Victoria Monet or Lotto or Lola Brooke or even Mariah the Scientist or Summer Walker or whomever is performing. Hell, Glorilla, whoever, hell, even Ice Spice. You thought I was feeling you? Bitch, please. Frank Ocean, your ass definitely is a munch for a white man, but that's a whole nother conversation. Bitch, listen. This was Coachella's time. This was not your own. If you are still going through something with your grieving process, respectfully, you should have never signed up for that event or any event that you cannot handle, because you are now ruining the experiences for other people who would have excused you otherwise. That's not a good look. You need to go heal, my nigga. People have paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to come from across the fucking world to see you. So they have a right to be fucking angry with you, my nigga. They have a right to be angry with you. You shouldn't have accepted the gig. We don't have to fucking... Y'all, because it's just like niggas like him. Why do they get opportunities that folks like me can't? Why do they get opportunities that other artists who I fucking support and listen to don't fucking get? That's not okay. You wasted an opportunity that somebody like Baby Stormy could have used, that somebody like Dexter Jordan could have used, that somebody like Corey James could have fucking used, that somebody like me, nigga, that I could have fucking used. It's like, bruh, you know what? This is why don't nobody fuck with you now, nigga. Again, this is why Chris Brown beat your ass. Because you are so fucking unserious. You are so fucking unserious. You are so fucking unserious. Like, you're so fucking unserious. And it's just whack. You're fucking whack. We have to stop making excuses for this shit. We have to stop making excuses. Again, you started late. You ended early. There was no live stream. And there was a very confused... There was a very confusing stage setup, and people from down to TikTok and everywhere else are reading you to pieces. And I'm glad that they're doing so. Read that nigga, get that nigga, because what does a broken ankle have to do with anything? What does a broken ankle have to do with anything? I just... Fuck you, nigga. Just fuck you. For real. Fuck you. See, this is what I say. This is what I be talking about, y'all. I rant and rave for the others who either don't have the energy to do the whole setup and record and, you know, make it professional and drop it. You know, just say, like, I do this for y'all. But also because this shit is hurtful to me, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you do this to people? Why? Like, you fucking scam artists, con artists, I don't want to really want to be here, but I was obligated to be here as bitch. Like, fuck you. No, seriously, fuck you. And you and I bet y'all $5 this nigga probably called TMZ himself. I bet y'all $5 and a fucking Lunchable he did this himself. Fuck him. For real, fuck him. Seriously, real hot girl shit. Fuck that nigga. Like, I just, Ooh, I can't. But let me know what y'all think about this, because, bitch, I just... Yeah, I can't, y'all. But let me know what y'all think about this. I will talk to y'all after these messages. Whew, and hopefully I would have cooled down by now. Cool it now. Ooh, watch out. You're gonna lose control. Gotta cool it now. You better slow it down. Ooh, watch out. Before, well, shit, I ain't nobody finna fall in love with this nigga. But before you fall for that fuck nigga, anyway, child, fuck that nigga. Fuck that nigga. Anyway, fuck him, child. But peace. We'll be right back after these messages. But thank y'all for tuning in to the Royal Hour Podcast by your good guy, Prince Onyx. And child, really, I really be thinking I'm making it in my head. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. So before we dive into this next topic, I just want to say, y'all, did I or did I not obliterate the fuck out of Frank Ocean? And you know what? It is what it is. Because, again, it was just disrespectful what he did, you know, because if that was a woman, you know, she would have been eaten alive. And he's getting dragged, rightfully so. But this is what happens when you overhype, when we overhype people who really don't deserve it, but we also overhype folks who just don't want to be there. And Frank Ocean is one of those bitches who just doesn't want to be there. Also, another side note and sidebar, you know, with the Jonathan Majors case, it's really interesting that the industry was really quick to forgive Ezra Miller after what he has done. And because it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, the Flash movie is going to make money. So, you know, we're willing to overlook it. And he's been getting mental health counseling. So, you know, it's whatever. It's like, because I'm not trying to say, oh, Jonathan Majors should be forgiven because he's black. That's not it at all. But Ezra Miller has been accused of far worse and has done worse on camera. And it's just like, we haven't even seen the footage of Majors and his girlfriend yet. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, Ezra Miller gets a pass. Like, this dude is a literal psychopath, a literal sociopath. And it's like, what's going to happen when he does something else? Because he will do something else. Like, you know, like, if you're going to hold one party accountable, hold the other party accountable. Like, after this Flash movie comes out, y'all should just get rid of him altogether, for real, for real. But y'all won't, because it's like, hey, oh, he's making us money. And it's like, okay, well, you know, you just better pray he don't do nothing to one of y'all family members. Because maybe that's what it'll take for y'all to wake up and be like, yeah, we can't fuck with him anymore. That, you know, just some little afterthoughts. But anyway, speaking of a more Hollywood drama, we are going to talk about that writer strike that I was telling y'all about, because at this point, y'all, it's impending and it's, you know, it's coming. It's coming like a 10-inch dick, okay? It is coming after 5 pumps. Anyway, don't ask me how I know. I just know. Anyway, this is coming from the Huffington Post, and this reads, Hollywood writers authorized strike against studios. The unions said an overwhelming majority of writers are willing to walk off the job if they don't receive a fair deal. Writers for the U.S. film and television industries have given their unions the green light to declare a strike if they can't reach a satisfactory deal on a new contract with the major studios. On Monday, the two affiliated unions, the Writers Guild of America West and the Writers Guild of America East, released the results of a strike authorization vote held among their members amid contract talks. Nearly 98% voted in favor of authorizing a work stoppage, and nearly 80% of eligible members participated in the vote, figures that the unions have said were record highs. The vote does not guarantee screenwriters will walk off the job, but it empowers union leaders to call a strike if they don't make significant headway at the bargaining table. It would be the first strike by Hollywood writers since they were off the job for 100 days in 2007 and 2008, which is right around the time that the reality TV show boom and that era took off, which is why we are still dealing with the ramifications of that till this day. Sorry about that, y'all. You know, yarn be trying to fight. I be trying to fight it back, but it just kind of can't come out. But anyway, so, you know, this was, and that was 100 days back then. Nowadays, would it be 100 days? Would it be 150 days? Would it be 200 days? And you, I mean, because we already have an oversaturation within the reality TV market. So what else could they really do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I have an idea for me and some homeboys of mine, you know, so if we can get some money. But it's like, hey, it, you know, aside from that, it's like, what else could they really do? You know, Real Housewives is still a thing. Love & Hip Hop, surprisingly, is still a thing. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Love & Hip Hop is not really what it's been stopped being what it used to be. And now it's just kind of like, okay, damn, why are we still here? Like, damn, you niggas in Atlanta must really be pressed. Like, cause it's like between Atlanta and Houston. No, not Houston. Atlanta and I was thinking of Hollywood, but they haven't been back on either. But between Atlanta and Miami, it's just like, damn, y'all really, you know, pressed to still be out here. Like, okay, like, girl, I mean, but I guess if people still watching, you know, which is like not many of us, but for those who are, I guess, girl, I guess. Okay. So, you know, because another thing is with the writers, whether you are a producer, a writer, a director, or an actor, you deserve fair pay. And it feels, and it seems like, and feels as though writers are getting the short end of the stick. Now, mind you, these people have quit their jobs, their day jobs, their regular jobs. They're in the industry now. You're part of the Writers Guild, and you know, and for those who don't know, because not everyone knows this, you have to pay a monthly fee. Same for actors who are in the union. You have to pay a monthly fee. Just like for those who work in security or the teachers, you know what I'm saying? If there's a union at your job, you have to pay your monthly dues. I know that for security, you pay your monthly dues twice a month. Like, depending on, it could either be once a month or twice a month. It really depends. But yeah, it's just like, yo, this shit is. Yeah, you know, paying those monthly dues can be a lot, you know what I'm saying? So it's like they have to do that on top of, you know, writing for their damn life and hoping that they get, you know, booked with a studio or stuff like that, that, you know, you get booked for a TV show, this, that, and the third, that the TV show keeps getting renewed, so on and so forth. And then on top of that, it's really shitty because, like, I saw a check by a writer. He had shared it on Twitter, and unfortunately, I couldn't find it for this segment, and I wished I would have saved it. But I saw a check by this writer as it pertains to this writing strike, which, you know, when I saw that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, y'all should most likely go on strike. Will it suck because there won't be too much of shit on TV? Yeah, but you know what? That's why there's Netflix and Hulu and Paramount Plus. They're, you know, we gonna make something shake, okay? So the check was for, and I kid y'all not, $8.88. Again, that check was for $8.88. Now, what the fuck is that going to get him? Like, it'll barely get you a fucking cup of coffee at down to Starbucks. It'll barely get you a couple of candy bars down to the Walgreens. It may get you one candy bar. Maybe even two if they're on sale. Like, buy two for $3, you know what I'm saying? Buy two for $5. But it's like, what the fuck is that really finna do at the end of the day? I ask this of you. Seriously. It's just... It's very unfortunate, truly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very unfortunate. You know what I'm saying? Oh, child, I think I low-key got the itis because I had ate before I recorded. Because I'm like, damn, why the fuck am I yawning so much? But, bitch, we're going to get through this segment. Goddamn, we're going to get through this. Anyway, back to the article. Because, again, it's just fucking unfortunate. Like, $8.88, really? Like, damn, where the rest of the money go? Where the rest of the money go? Who got a big chunk of it and just was like, oh, yeah, I still got to pay them? Okay, I'm going to just get them this. $8.88? Yeah, they deserve to go on strike. Like, fuck is you talking about? They deserve to go on strike. Fuck out of here. Like, fuck out of here, for real. Anyway, back to the article. Our membership has spoken. The union's negotiating committee said in an email to members, you have expressed your collective strength, solidarity, and the demand for meaningful change in overwhelming numbers. Armed with this demonstration of unity and resolve, we will continue to work at the negotiating table to achieve a fair contract for all writers. The unions are negotiating a new 3-year deal known as the Minimum Basic Agreement, which sets pay, benefits, and protections for the industry's writers. The big studios, including Amazon, Apple, Disney, NBC Universal, it's just that U and Universal is attached to the NBC, so I'm like, whoa, did I misread that? NBC Universal and Netflix bargain the agreement collectively as the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. The contract covers more than 11,000 workers. This year's negotiations were expected to be contentious as writers demand a bigger piece of the streaming pie, much like the fun that they have making, but you know, making these productions, but much like the film production workers who threatened to strike in 2021, screenwriters say the studios have used the shift towards streaming as an opportunity to push down wages for those who make the content. According to the unions, a growing share of writers, editors, and showrunners have been receiving the industry's minimum pay under the contract. For instance, a decade ago, 10% of co-producers were working at the minimum rate, and now 59% are. The union says, median pay for writers and producers has dropped 4% over the years, not counting for inflation. At the same time, the unions say streaming has led to fewer episodes per season. Damn, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, damn, this just caught me hot. See, because y'all remember how I kept complaining about that shit? Wow. Oh, bitch. See, I knew that there was something up with this shit. This is shit I live for, in case y'all can't tell. Now I'm up. Now I'm activated. Anyway, even though I felt like there's one more yarn left in me, let me get this shit out. Hold on, y'all. Shit, god damn it. Anyway, sorry that y'all had to hear that. I was trying to like yell it out. Anyway, it sounded all weird, but we in this, we family. At the same time, the union say streaming has led to fewer episodes per season and longer production times for each episode in a series, a dynamic that has squeezed writers since they are paid per episode. Again, this dynamic of, you know, 8 to 10 episodes, or shit, basically 6 to 10 episodes, or 6 to 8 episodes, or just 6 episodes. Yeah, that they're squeezing the writers like a fucking orange for some damn OJ in the morning, okay? Because, again, they are paid per episode. You are paid per episode. The companies have leveraged the streaming transition to underpay writers, creating more precarious, lower-pay models for writers' work. The Writers Guild of America West and the Writers Guild of America East said in a recent memo, Huffington Post employees are represented by the Writers Guild of America East. In their pattern of demands, the writers also said they want to boost what are known in the industry as residuals, pay for the reuse of their work, such as with television reruns or feature film DVDs. And see, that's the thing, too, with residuals. That's why, like, a show like The Cosby Show, or a show like Martin, or even That's So Raven, or The Proud Family, like shows, hell, The Parkers, which, I mean, that's why Monique and now Countess Vaughn joining Monique, they're suing for their money because the cast has not received any residuals from all of their hard work all those years ago. But the executive producers had sued, and this is a sidebar as well, the executive producers had sued, and they got their money, but they never told the rest of the cast. So now Monique is steering, you know, the path. She's, you know, steering the charge for it, and Countess Vaughn has joined her. So, you know, with residuals, like, you know, with reruns and syndication and things like that, like once you reach like, what, 100 episodes or so, and you are syndicated, I believe that's how the rules are. I don't think they've changed anytime soon. I don't think that they have. But when you reach a certain number of episodes, in this case 100, and you are at syndication, whenever your show is played over and over again, the episodes, they do a marathon, you receive a check for that money. That's residuals, because you get your pay that you get up front. You get, you know, from working on the episodes, on the TV show, or, you know, in this case, a movie, whatever production you worked on. And I'm sorry, I'm, like, really excited right now. Like, so that's why I'm kind of, like, jumbled up and stuff. Because this is the shit that excites me. But it's the aftermath, you know what I'm saying? The back end points, rather. Shit, you can call it a back end deal where you're getting points, residuals, things like that. So when it's like, okay, because you don't know when your next job might be in this industry. That's just the harsh truth. But even if you are getting buku of jobs and a plethora of them, you want to still make sure that your previous works are still paying you, you know, paying off, literally paying off. You know what I'm saying? So you still want to make sure you're getting like points and percentages and things like that. And the residuals really count. Now, the only tricky side to it is that as time goes on, the residuals checks do get smaller. Like the cast from Martin, I don't think they're still getting what they used to get from their residuals back then. They still get residuals, yes, but I don't think they get, again, what they used to get probably in like the early 2000s. You know what I'm saying? Because after a while, again, they get smaller and smaller. But I mean, shit, the people like over at The Cosby Show, I don't know what type of deal Bill Cosby may have finessed, but they are getting, I think, huge and pretty decent sized residuals where it's like, oh, bitch, you know, motherfuckers making money. So it's like, you know, they still doing what they're doing in the present day, but they're still getting like a nice little chunk of change, a nice little kickback from work they did 20, almost 30 some odd years, you know, long time ago. So, you know, there is that on that. So, and this is why DVDs are important as well. Now, the AMPTP said ahead of talks that it would approach the contract with the quote unquote long-term health and stability of the industry in mind. The goal is to keep the production active so that all of us can continue working and continue to deliver to the consumers the best entertainment product available in the world, the group said in a statement. The current contract is set to expire on May 1st, which is next month. I was about to say it's around the corner, which at this rate it kind of is because we're already on the 18th of April. But the current contract is set to expire on May 1st if the two sides fail to reach a deal or extend the current one by then. Union leaders could declare a strike. In the event of a work stoppage, writers would be expected to withhold their work from any studios under the lapsed contract. A prolonged strike could stop production of scripted television shows and eventually impact film production as well. And see, that's my fear too, is that in a situation like that, it's like, you know, okay, what is it? Abbott Elementary, they just got renewed for season 3. All of Dick Wolf's shows on NBC, they just got all renewed. I'm trying to see who else got renewed. Some stuff on Netflix, but there's this one show that I watch, but it's Australian, so I doubt that the writer strike is going to affect them, you know, internationally. But like for anything that's American based, we're really just talking about stuff that is American based. They will be affected heavily. So things that got renewed, you know, it's going to come at a halt, and a lot of people will suffer as a result of it. But in the same breath, the actors, the writers, the directors, the producers, these people need to be treated well. So if it means, hey, some shit gets paused, things get delayed, so the hell be it, because you cannot do this to people. Again, there should be no reason why I saw a check that a writer got that was for the amount of $8.88 in this economy. And mind you, they're not even really counting inflation. So it's just kind of like, well, girl, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, girl, fuck you. Oh, inflation. Oh, you're dealing with inflation. Oh, well. You're dealing with inflation. Oh, well. We all are. Oh, well. It's like, bitch, like, the fuck? What is y'all problem? So, again, I commend them for doing what is necessary and doing what they need to do, because it's like, yo, at the end of the day, We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it. I forgot the rest of the lyric anymore. There we go. I forgot the rest of the lyrics. But yeah, it's just like they deserve better. And this is why shit like this really be making me like, girl, yeah, let me keep this little job that I got for now. Because if I had got a check for $8.88, and let's say a motherfucker needs some groceries in their fridge, you know, not saying that the guy's like dirt poor or something like that, but it's just like, bitch, $8 American dollars and 88 American cent. What the fuck is that going to do? That ain't even a fucking, you can't even fucking get an Uber scooter or a Lyft bike or a Divvy bike for that shit. What the fuck is that supposed to do? Seriously, what the fuck is that shit supposed to do? Real talk. Like, it's just weird how they treat folks like they're disposable. And, you know, again, this is why with the AI bullshit. And recently there was a robot that was working in a warehouse that just, like, collapsed and fainted all of a sudden. As if they were human, as if they didn't get their little 10 or 15 or 30 minute lunch break. The robot just fainted while literally putting boxes from point A to point B. You know, it's like, so you're trying to replace us with AI, but even they're fed the fuck up with this hard-ass slave labor that you got us doing. So, you know, it's just, man, look, get your money out there in Hollywood. Get your motherfucking money. Make it do what it do. Save, invest. Really, you know, make it do what it do, because this industry is low-key a joke at times. Because how are you going to give somebody $8.88? Respectfully, what the fuck are they supposed to do with that? What the fuck are they supposed to do with that? Seriously, tell me, what are they supposed to do with that? I'm waiting. $8 and an American 88 cent. Like, I just, you can't make this shit up, yo. You can't make this shit up. And then there was a rumor circulating that apparently Tyler Perry had voted against the writer's strike. But, I mean, of course you would vote against it, allegedly, because you write every fucking thing. So the writer's strike shit.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Just wanted to remind you again and thank you all for tuning in to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and comments and feedback. I love that. But also, more importantly, it helps with pushing me and the show and my royal court, you all, and my lovely guests who I have on here from time to time through the algorithm. Doing that helps all of us win in the grand scheme of things. So again, thank you for tuning in, and be sure to leave a rating and tell a friend to tell a friend and leave a comment. We at the Royal Hour Podcast love you guys for that, and we thank you and appreciate you all tremendously. Thank you. Alrighty, and let's get back to the show.
So, yes, I don't see the writer's strike really affecting Tyler Perry, because it's just like, dude, you're not like, and by the way, I was able to find that check that I was telling y'all about, the check that I saw for $8.88. All I had to do was type the amount of that in on Twitter, because I tried to type in writer strike, but then I got all that other stuff. But before I get into that, it's like, with Tyler Perry, if it is true that he allegedly voted against the writer strike, I don't see it really affecting you, because, again, you let a few bad apples spoil the bunch for the writers who actually did want to be there. Now, granted, when it comes to doing rewrites on a TV show, and most likely even with a film, that's going to cost money. So the more they had to keep doing rewrites, the more money had to be paid to them. And Tyler felt like he was being used and exploited, and he wasn't down with that, and he was upset with that. So he got rid of the writer's room, and now he writes everything. And for those writers who really essentially made it to where this is what we are dealing with when it comes from him, y'all were some greedy ass bitches. And I mean, if y'all do have another job in Hollywood, great, congratulations to you. But also, you're about to go on strike, and I hope that all your bills are paid up to date, because where's that money going to come in? Because, you know, you could end up like a guy like Travis Hellwig. This is the guy who, you know, from streaming residuals. He's the one who posted the infamous check of $8.88 that he received in March of this year. And this is what streaming residuals, unfortunately, looks like, because your episode could have been seen by millions. But then when they put those numbers out there, you end up getting this quote unquote fat check of $8.88. Like, this is what people are fighting for. And then his post ended up having another writer named Ian Scott McGregor, and he's an actor. His name sounds familiar. But Ian Scott McGregor, this is an actor. One of his checks that he received was for, and I quote, and I shit y'all not, $6.06. So it just makes you go like, damn, bitch, like, Hollywood is really a bunch of fucking smoke and mirrors. Like, real fucking talk. This shit is really a bunch of smoke and mirrors, because it's just like, yo, niggas, like, motherfuckers is really getting $8.88 or $6.06. Then there was another check that somebody posted, another person, that literally was just a penny. Literally a penny. Yo. I'm sorry, I have to laugh, but it's like, god damn, like, damn, man, these artists are broke. And that's no shade, it's the truth. Like, god damn, like, how... I just can't. I can't with this industry, yo. But in all, the writer strike, I don't see it, like I said, affecting Tyler Perry really like that. I don't see it affecting him. Maybe if he had a writer's room, then I would see him actually voting for the writer strike if they were not being paid adequately. But even then, if he voted against it and he had a writer's room, hypothetically, then that would just go to, you know, the capitalistic greed that that everyone is capable of, depending on their situation and scenario. But yeah, I just don't really see the writer strike affecting him. But let me know what you guys think pertaining to this situation with the writer strike, because even with that, there was another article that came out, and this is from the Hollywood Reporter. So again, let me know what you guys think about that first situation with the writer strike. But as we go on to our last topic of the, I was going to say, the evening, because this is when I'm recording it, but as we narrow it down and start to wind down for this episode, which I want to thank y'all for tuning in to. This is from the Hollywood Reporter, and this reads that Lionsgate cuts staff and film division. The layoffs impact 3% of the unit, about 12 employees out of 400, which, you know, you probably would think that that's, oh, well, it's 12 out of 400. So, I mean, like, you know, hey, it's not that big of a deal, but it really could be, especially to those, I don't know, 12 fucking people. Especially if they don't have anything lined up. But it goes on to say, layoff season isn't over at Lionsgate's film division. The company, based in Vancouver and headquartered in Santa Monica, laid off a dozen employees in its motion picture group, a resource confirms to the Hollywood Reporter. The cuts impact about 3% of the division, which totals about 400 employees. The pink slip hits the group shortly after the March 24th global bow of John Wick Chapter 4, the company's flagship Keanu Reeves starring franchise, which has nabbed 306 million so far. It's probably more than that, but you know, by now, but 306 million so far, as well as the January release of Gerard Butler thriller Plane, which has grossed 52 million worldwide. The company also distributed Guy Ritchie's Operation Fortune, I don't even know how to read the rest. I'm going to do it anyway. Rus de Guerreau, co-financed by Miramax and STX Entertainment, stateside, where it grossed $6.5 million domestically in March. The layoffs are the latest in a series of smaller cuts made at the John Fertelman-Rand Lionsgate over the past 6 months. In a quote, in terms of overall cost and corporate overhead, I would just note that we have quietly reduced our workforce by approximately 150 full-time employees, or approximately 10% of our workforce, CFO Jimmy Burge told investors during a February 9th earnings call. Wow, the day after my birthday, Jesus Christ. We've done this through restructuring and managing open positions. The company had 1,448 employees as of last May, per its annual report. Lionsgate's motion picture group has a full slate and is readying new installments in the Saw, Expendables, and Dirty Dancing film franchises, as well as prepping a November release for prequel Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Last fall, Lionsgate re-upped several executives to new deals, including its film division of Chief Joe Drake. Damn, how you got two first names? Anyway, Joe Drake, who inked a new long-term agreement. Significant layoffs have hit multiple entertainment companies in recent months. Yeah, that we know. Notably, rolling layoffs at Warner Brothers Discovery, of course, last year, and now a similar plan in place at Disney as studios balance their content spending with new belt-tightening scrutiny from Wall Street investors with an eye on the bottom line, a.k.a. the money. Burge, on the February earnings call, said the cuts were part of a plan to, quote-unquote, manage costs across the board, including program spending and marketing, as well as general and administrative expenses heading into 2024. The moves are also being made ahead of a long-planned spinoff of Lionsgate's premium cable brand Starz into a standalone company, which executives hope will unlock more shareholder value for investors once they're separated. The new target timetable for that separation is September of this year. Lionsgate stock, which has fallen significantly since 2021, has been on an upswing in the early part of this year, close to at $11.47 a share as of April 13th. Deadline first reported Thursday's film cuts. And that's the end of that article. So, and again, it's just going to show that the industry is not saved from inflation either. And the fact that they've had to get rid of a few people, yeah, but it's like these people, you know, what are they doing now? They're probably trying to find another job. Like, this industry has its ups and downs, its ebbs and flows, right? But it's just like, you know, a lot of people put all their eggs in one basket, and it's so unfortunate, you know? And it's stuff like this that even has me like, damn, like, I really want to be in this industry, right? Well, nigga, just be sure that, you know, you got some money saved up for, you know, fuck a rainy day. Have some money saved up for some rainy years, because, you know, like, I'm going to say this. When I get my first few big checks, trust and believe I'm putting some shit up just in case. And I'm going to invest some money in some stuff. I'm going to do a lot. And I encourage anybody who's in this industry to do the same. Like, invest your money in some shit that's worth it. You know, whether it's, hell, get you an apartment building, do something where you got some other money coming in, tuck some money away, don't be flashy. Because that's the other thing, too, out in California, especially. You got people who be buying Maseratis and the Phantoms and the Rolls Royce and all this other stuff, all these fancy cars, only to get these cars repossessed because, one, they are rented, so they didn't really flat out buy them. So the cars are rented. Cars are getting repossessed. You can look up how many celebrities get eviction notices practically every other fucking month because they're getting kicked out because they're not paying rent. They show up at these red carpets and at these events. They're all flashy and this, that, and the third, child, from the outfit to the jewelry down to the socks, the shoes, and maybe even the drawers. Everything is rented. And hopefully there's no skid marks in them fucking drawers, because it's like, yo, like, sweat stains and skid marks, okay? Like, yo. It's like everything is fucking rented. Like, a lot of shit is so fucking fake. You can't even tell the real from the fake. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing, that when I am really, really, really in the industry like that, I'm finna be real. Like, motherfuckers really gonna be like, ooh, he don't really like to hang out with nobody, and he don't did it. No, bitch, I hang out with people, just not these fake-ass Hollywood bitches. I hang out with the people who fucks with me and who I fuck with. I'm not finna hang out with people who I don't fucking know. Even if I've had y'all vetted and a background check has been ran, which, yes, I will be doing that, having background checks ran. And, yes, all of you bitches will be signing NDAs. That just is what it is. But it's like, even then, it shit, with the NDA, bitch, you can't say nothing unless you want to get sued, number one. But it's like, and even when you're vetted, if something in my spirit is telling me no, I'm not finna fuck with it. That just is what it is, respectfully. You feel me? So, yeah, that's all I got really for this installment of the Royal Hour podcast. But let me know what you guys think about this, from all of this entertainment mayhem, you know, media mayhem. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me know what y'all think about this, because at least y'all can, you know what, this time around, I am not a day late, nor am I $5 short. And with that being said, this is another installment of, yet again, the Royal Hour podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in with your good guy, your good boy here, every other week, every week. And I will talk to y'all later. Peace. And again, let me know what you guys think. Be sure to leave a comment, give me that, you know, 5-star rating. You know, help your boy out with pushing me through the algorithm. And thank y'all to those who are subscribed on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, which is surprising. But hey, you know, we take the small wins, you know, everywhere. Apple Podcasts. Like, thank y'all for really rocking with me. For real, for real. Love y'all a lot, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.
Hey guys, what's going on? I just wanted to let you guys know, before we get on up out of here with your good guy here, Prince Onyx, I just want to let you lovely people know where you can find me. So if you are in the TikTok streets, you can find me at Prince of the Go. That is PRINCEOFTHEGO. And the Go is short for Chicago. Or you can just simply type in Prince Onyx and I will pop up. Now, that same name I just gave you, Prince of the Go, you can also find me under that same moniker over at Instagram. You know, trying to keep in tune with the whole Prince royalty background, you know, the brand. And you can also find me under my second Instagram, Prince of Gotham, with the number one, and Gotham, like, you know, Gotham City, you know, in case you guys haven't put two and two together, comic book reference. And you guys can also find me at Fanbase, Prince Onyx. And you can also find me on these Twitter streets, Prince Onyx World. Now, that, after you spell out Prince, the Onyx is O-N-Y-X, all capitalized, and World is spelled W-R-L-D, so it's World minus the O, and that is all capitalized as well. So be sure that you are following me and keeping up to date with me and staying in touch with me, as I want to hear from you lovely people. And other than that, we will go ahead and get on up out of here. So I love you guys lots, and let me know your thoughts on this recent episode. Until we meet again, peace. Oh, and how could I forget? You can also find me on YouTube, Prince Onyx. Hello, come on now. I'm definitely trying to keep this brand going and going and going and going. Not even trying. I am keeping this brand going. But again, I just want you guys to know where you guys can find me. All right, talk to you later. Peace.